The 15-minute sermon, okay, here we go. So I've been lost a bunch of times in my life. A couple of times I drifted off with my sister on adventures and not coming back for a long period of time. One time we were visiting my aunt and uncle who were up camping out of Mammoth Lake at Lake Mary. And I told my sister I knew where a waterfall was, and so she and I went off. I think I probably was in fourth grade, so that means she was in second grade. So this is not a time normally that parents let children kind of wander away, but my parents did. And we went to the waterfall, and we decided, you know, wonder what the waterfall looks. We were at the top of the waterfall, and we were wondering, I wonder what the waterfall looks like when you're at the bottom. So we went down to the bottom of the waterfall on the trail. And then when we got to the bottom of the waterfall and the trail, we decided, let's not come back the same way we went. And so we went around the lake and up the road, and eventually, after, so parents kind of realized after 15 minutes, two of their three children weren't there any longer, and started doing the search, and the whole time, my sister and I knew exactly where we were. Walking back the road, all the things. But as we rounded the corner, about the same time my parents had done the third lap around the campground to find us, they go, where have you been? And then we explained the whole big story of our wilderness experience. And they were just kind of like, but you know you were only supposed to go, well, we wanted to, you know, and it all made perfect sense in our little heads. But my parents were exasperated, to say the least. And we were told a stern warning not to do that again. Well, that would, you know. I've also been lost as an adult, leading a group of people, which is even better because, you know, I was leading a backpacking trip. We were supposed to turn at a lake that I had been at probably a dozen times, and maybe I had gotten distracted at the time of the turnoff and went past it. And the group got separated, half the group got to the lake, and I, the leader, had led the group over another hill, which I thought was only one, but it was actually four hills later before I realized where we ran out of water. So, you know, pumped water out of a pond. It was great, hurt myself along the way, and went over the three hills and finally got back to the place where it was with me severely damaged as the leader. Not a great way to be in the wilderness. All of us have wilderness experiences in our lives. You know, we're put in places where we may have a sense of where we are. Both of these stories are true. You know, we can be in a new place but have a sense of where we are. We can be in an older place and completely lose our direction. We can lose our direction through several things. It can be a life experience. Something happens differently than we've ever experienced before in our lives, and we just don't have any reference point on how to deal with this new situation. It can be that something happens to us and upends us. That I've gone to this job my whole life, and now it doesn't exist anymore. It can be that we've changed something. I've worked all these years, and now I'm retired. What do I do with myself? We have all of these things that happen in our lives. Or you could get married, or you could start a new relationship, you can end a relationship. I mean, the list can go on and on, can't it? We can always find something that can change the point of view that we are. And generally speaking, we're going to have a whole bunch of those through our life. And I've known people who've been in wilderness experiences for a short time. I know a person who was in a wilderness experience for close to 30 years. One of the women I grew up with, went all the way through elementary school and high school, became an alcoholic while she was in college. Highly functional, but still an alcoholic all the way from the point she was in college through her professional life up until 2 years ago. We knew it. But it was really up to her to do something about it. And so finally, life had gotten to the point where she didn't want to live the way she was living anymore. And so she went to AA and got herself cleaned up, got out of an abusive relationship she had been in for probably 30 years, and is now trying to reestablish herself back to the way she once was, that she can remember when she was younger and how she liked to be. 30 years in the wilderness. 30 years, she kind of knew where she was, but she was had a wilderness experience that hindered her from being who she wanted to be and enabling her to be the kind of spiritual being that she is. Goes to church now. She didn't do that for a long time, too. The ideas of who we are and where we are in life's journey, I think, is important for us to reflect upon continually. Sometimes we're in situations where we're trying to just figure out how to navigate our way around it. Sometimes we're placed in places where we have a sense of where we are, but we're really not sure how the world's going to react to us or how we will be found by others. And then today we're going to confront the story of Jesus being in the wilderness. We're going to do the big three of the New Testament, okay? Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. At the end of that, there's the great proclamation that he finds out at the end of that, and he says to the people he encounters, "I've just experienced something incredible. Come and hear the good news." It's been so incredible that people have continued to come and hear the good news even to this day. And then the third thing is, how do you pick up people in your life who can make a difference and who will travel with you? Jesus is baptized in the book of these things all happen in rapid succession and work. I mean, this is still the first chapter. We're not even to the end of it. So the first thing is that we learn about John the Baptist doing this new kind of ministry in the wilderness, out there beyond everybody else, saying that, you know, you can have a different kind of relationship with God. We have Jesus responding to that and being baptized by God. And what's interesting with the story itself, God speaks to Jesus. Doesn't speak to anyone else around it, but it says this: God spoke and said, "You are my beloved." And I think I preached on that a little while ago. And then immediately, these immediate words in Mark showing movement, rapid movement, he leaves everything behind that he had known in the past and goes out into the wilderness. It says for 40 days. So why 40 days? So 40 is a complete period of time in Hebrew idealism. So we have 40 years in the wilderness. We have Noah's Ark, 40 days, you know, of rain on the ark. We have the numerology of it is important to the writers of that. So it shows a complete period of time that Jesus is in the wilderness. Not 39, not 41, but 40. And in that time, Jesus faces several trials, all right? One, he's out in the wilderness, not around anybody he knows. Yeah, that's enough of a trial. The second one is temptation. It says Satan tempted him. Now, depending on who you are in the world, you can say, well, we have all kinds of temptations and things move along in our lives that tempt us to move one direction or another. Some people believe in the personification of evil, that Satan was there in physical form telling Jesus to do this and this. And in the other versions of the New Testament, you get those temptations in Luke's gospel. You know, he's brought there, he's sit there, he goes up there. But in Mark, it's not that. It's just there. Temptation. And he's with the wild beast, so there's some danger out there. And then it says at the end that the angels ministered to him. What does that mean? Did they bring him dinner? Did they say, give him a blanket? Started a magic fire? We don't know. We don't know any of these things. But what we do know is that through this story, that Jesus didn't do any of this stuff alone. It's not like God says, oh, go out there and hang out for 40 days and figure it out. That's not the case in this story. The case of the story is that God journeys with Jesus in the wilderness, and through the process of discovery, through the process of reflection, through the process of taking in all that he has been exposed to, he comes up and comes out with a new reality of himself, a strong reality, a reality that it completely changes the way that he is in the world. It's kind of been an enigma of Christianity that the person who we ascribe as Savior of the world, we know nothing really about. very little. I mean, there are a few things about the birth of Jesus. He was either born in Nazareth or he was born in Bethlehem. The stories aren't really quite sure. You know, if you read Matthew, we're not sure if he was born in Bethlehem. If you read Luke, he definitely is. If you read John, we have no sense of where Jesus was born, or Mark either. The other thing about Jesus is that we know nothing about his childhood other than this little story in Luke where mom and dad take him down to Jerusalem and he gets left behind, you know, and then they have to rush back. But that's a big gap. It would be like, where are you from? Well, I existed for 30-some years, but I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm going to tell you about what I'm doing now. We have this big gap on who formed Jesus and what were the things that made him the way he is. We do know, though, that there were two events, in the gospel stories anyway, that totally transformed him. First one is the baptism. They all say Jesus was baptized. A transforming event. And even today, we say, you know, come to the church, enter into the life of Christ, you're baptized, whether an infant or an adult. The second thing that we know that is concrete as far as the biblical story is concerned is Jesus went out into the desert, and when he came back, he wasn't the same person. He was transformed by a wilderness experience. The Spirit of God came to him in a way that hadn't come to him before. And when he left and came back and met the people that he met, I would say from this story, we don't know this for sure, but my guess is the way this disciple call goes, these people knew who Jesus was. They've been around Galilee and Nazareth for a while. They may have encountered one another. But something about the encounter when he came back, they said, whoa, there's something new about him. I'm going to follow him and see what's up. And he picked up new people. And he's been picking up people ever since. Picked up you, picked up me. Maybe you're considering being picked up by Jesus. What is it about that spiritual experience in the wilderness that transformed Jesus, that brings that transformational power to you and me? I think that he picked up several things that can be helpful for us. The first thing he picked up is that God's love is so overwhelming that it can't be limited in any way. But God so loved the world, it says in John. That kind of transformational love that Jesus received within the wilderness, where he realizes his head was open and he said, gosh, God loves us all that much. I got to tell people about that. And if you read the gospel story, you'll see it over and over and over again, that the people who were on the fringes of society, those people who were told by somebody that they don't belong, Jesus goes out of his way to say, you do belong, whether they were held captive by demons, or they had a physical malady, or they were a part of society that didn't value them, or they were a woman or a man who was on the fringes of something, Jesus in some way says, no, you're not beyond the love of God. You're not beyond the touch of God. And the whole reason that this Jesus movement continues to this day is that the Spirit still speaks to us in those terms. We are beloved. Remember the beloved part? That's still the case. We are beloved of God. We are the community in which that love can be made manifest, in which we can rely on one another and check in with each other and says, do you think God loves me? Oh yeah, God loves you. Does God love me? Some days. No, God loves you all the time. And affirm that God's love through the Holy Spirit is being made evident to us every day of our life and even beyond life. I mean, I don't believe God's love is limited to the amount of times that we can draw breath. God's love goes beyond that, even into God's very presence that we're welcomed. We can't go outside those long, long arms of God. They reach around and encompass it all. So why not pick up disciples if you have a message that's that strong? Why not inspire people who follow you to say that, you know, we need to gravitate people together and hold things in common and have something worthy to say? Why not offer the love of God to people even today who stand on the fringes of society, who have been told by somebody that they aren't loved or they don't care about or they're not cared about, or they should just suck it up and deal with it themselves? Those are the same things the Spirit talked to Jesus about. They're just as evident to you and me today if we really spend some time thinking about what God is doing in the wildernesses of our life. Whether it's a wilderness experience that you know where you are and people don't really grasp what you're going to or doing, or even if it's a wilderness experience that you're in a place that you've never been before and you're looking for God's loving arms to be on you. We have that capacity within us, and we as a community will live that out together. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come and be our guest. Surround us with your love. Show us the love of God that we saw in Jesus, that Jesus saw in the wilderness. Be our beacon, be our guide, that we might love deeper, that we may offer your hospitality to all whom we meet. Come, Holy Spirit, be our guest. Amen.